Wow. I'm so thankful for the worship here. Are you guys thankful for the worship here? And the chance to worship here? And I'm thankful that Pastor Carl has given me the privilege to preach again this morning. As many of you know, I love Ethiopia. Ethiopia is the birthplace of my favorite beverage and wake-up call. My coffee. And here some of you thought I was trying to be edgy this morning by bringing my latte up front. Okay, some people thought that was funny. In the 9th century AD, coffee was first discovered in Ethiopia. A Christian monk came across a goat herder and some of his dancing goats. No, this is history. And he decided he was going to try some for himself, and he found that the coffee beans gave him this magical energy, and he ran back to his monastery to share with the monks that he had discovered this awesome power that would allow them to stay awake for their long evening prayers. It was way funnier when I wrote it down. I've got a quote for you, though. The monks hailed this discovery as a gift from the Lord. The rest is history. There are now 875,000 acres of cultivated coffee-growing areas in Ethiopia. And another 125,000 acres of wild coffee trees. Now, who wants to be a missionary to Ethiopia with me? Anyone? Like I said, I love Ethiopia. But Jesus loves Ethiopia way more, doesn't he? Let's read our text this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 25. Acts 8, verse 25. Pastor Carl has been bringing us verse by verse through this powerful book, and we just saw a mass conversion of Samaritans to Christ through the witness of Philip. And we're going to pick this story up. Starting in verse 25. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Kandake, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was reading and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he went and preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized?" And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Heavenly Father, thank you for these ancient words that bring life to us, that bring encouragement in the Lord, that bring conviction of our sins, that we can turn to you. God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be present in this church, that you would speak through me, and that you would open up each of our ears, each of our hearts, all of our minds, to hear what you have to say to us. Would you change each one of us this morning in some way through our gathering together? Would you encourage those of us who need encouragement? Convict those of us who need conviction, although it's unpleasant. And send us forth to preach your gospel to the world. We need you. And we know that others need you. And we want to be a glove in the hand of God this morning. So we submit ourselves to you, and we submit this time in the scriptures to you for you to do as you please. Where you go, we will follow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You all are quiet this morning. The big idea today is that when we follow the Spirit's guidance, the gospel spreads further. How many of you want the gospel to spread further? Amen. Amen. I got an amen for Roy. Thank you, Roy. Yeah, we want the gospel to spread further here at Westminster Bible Church because we love Jesus, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. We love Jesus, and we want everyone else to love Jesus too. That's exactly what's occurring in Acts chapter 8. Philip, this evangelist deacon, and Peter and John, the apostles, are bringing the gospel wherever they go. They're following the Spirit's guidance, and the gospel is spreading further. Philip left Jerusalem in response to the persecution going on there. And he found himself in Samaria, probably because he was trying to escape persecution, and the Jews wouldn't follow him to the land of the Samaritans. And before you knew it, he had a little revival going on in Samaria with countless people turning to Christ. He continued to share the gospel with whoever he came across. We're going to start in point one, bringing the gospel to anyone. This morning, we're going to see almost a biblical, I don't want to say model as much as example, a biblical example of what a Spirit-guided gospel or Spirit-guided gospel sharing looks like. Has anyone ever shared the gospel and not do any good, seemingly? I have. Has anyone ever shared the gospel and something great came out of it? I've seen that too. And sometimes we share the gospel and we don't see what God wants to do, but he's doing something anyway. But most of the time, we don't share the gospel at all because we're too afraid or we're too caught up in our own mindset and we're not in the Spirit, we're not following God, because it's hard to do, isn't it? So this morning we're going to see some examples in a historical story about a man named Philip who decided to do what God wanted him to do and follow where God wanted to bring him. Where he goes, we will follow, right, church? When he stays, we will stay. When he moves, we'll move. These songs were so powerful. Whether we're in a time of prosperity, like the mega church in Jerusalem was, or we're in a time of hardship, like the early church found themselves when persecution started. We're to keep sharing the gospel wherever we go. Our God wants the gospel to be so readily in our minds, in our hearts, and on the tips of our tongues that wherever we go, Jesus is spoken of. Look at verse 25. So when Peter, John, and Philip had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Peter, John, and Philip were solemnly testifying about Jesus. When they spoke about Jesus, they did so seriously, solemnly. Whenever they came across people, they mentioned Jesus. They mentioned that the King of the universe had died and then risen from the dead. There's never been an event and never will be an event in history with such magnitude, with such a potential to change the world, not even the discovery of coffee. No, seriously. If there is a historical event worth sharing, it's this one, right? And when the creator of the universe dies, that's a serious thing. When the Messiah has come, the anointed one of God has come to rescue the world, it's a serious thing. So apparently they went all about preaching the word of God, sharing about Jesus, just talking about what Jesus had done with kind of a weightiness. You know, this is a big deal. It's the biggest deal ever, and you need to know him. And these early followers of Jesus brought the gospel to anyone they could find. Even as they left to return to Jerusalem, That's a bold, that's so amazing to me. Remember why they left Jerusalem? Persecution. And they're going back to Jerusalem. Does that strike anyone as odd? They're headed back into the heart of the trouble. I don't know why they did that, but that is bold. Apparently, there were still Jewish Christians to build up and disciple and still people to reach. They were going back. So they continued to preach about Jesus on their way. They saw a mass revival of Samaritans coming to know Jesus. It was unprecedented. They were part of the one church. The Spirit had come upon them. The apostles were there. But they left to go back to Jerusalem. And they preached one Samaritan city the next as they returned. Throughout history, Christians have been called to bring the gospel to anyone, haven't we? Wherever we go, whether they're our type of people, you know, or they're people very different than us. Whether they're people we're comfortable with or people that we're not comfortable with. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. As we go from our Samaritan city to the next, we're supposed to bring the gospel, right? God's calling each of us somewhere in life. Some of you know that God's calling you to a new place and you need to take some new steps to get there that are hard or difficult. You're in an uncomfortable place. You're trying to take the next step in your life. Some of you are being asked by God to stay where you're at. That's also uncomfortable. You're like, I want to move. I want to do something new. But God has got you where you are at for a reason. Just like he had these early Christians being persecuted for a reason to spread them out. Just as he had them headed back to Jerusalem for a reason to preach the gospel to the Samaritan cities as they went. He's got you where you are at for a reason. He wants us to preach the gospel from one Samaritan city to the next. He wants us to preach the gospel or speak about Jesus wherever we are. That means in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our families. Wherever we go, we're supposed to talk about Jesus because it's the biggest event that's ever happened. And I know it's the biggest thing that's ever happened in my life. And I know most of you, and I think for most of you, the change Jesus has brought into your life has been the biggest event you've ever experienced. Amen. That should make us want to share it. And share it wherever we go. First step in Spirit-guided gospel is following Jesus' command to bring the gospel anywhere. You know, we're a Bible church, right? The elders here want us to be word-based, Spirit-led. Have you guys heard that before? I hope you have. I know Carl's preached it before. Word-based, part of being word-based is God told us to preach the gospel to all creation. Are we doing that? If we're not doing what Jesus has clearly revealed in Scripture, how will we be ready to listen to him when he tells us to do something different, something strange? If we aren't willing to bring the gospel to anyone, how will we be willing to be guided by God to a specific someone? If we're not being word-based and following the command of Jesus, how will we be willing to be Spirit-led in preaching the gospel? So Philip preached the gospel wherever he went, but then something really strange happened. Verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So God, through an angel, I've never seen an angel. I think if I did, I'd be terrified. But God told Philip through an angel, now go to this desert road where no one is at. Nothing is there. There is no water. It is dry. It is hot. And you're headed towards, you know, an old Philistine city filled with a mix of Greeks and non-practicing Jews. And Philip's like, I want to go with the apostles back to Jerusalem, but he's supposed to go to this desert road. Has God ever asked you to go somewhere and you didn't understand why? God does that to me and Gabrielle all the time. I wish he wouldn't. It's very stretching, frustrating, and faith-building, right? We're supposed to bring the gospel to anyone. We're also guided by God to someone. You know, if you go back to the beginning of Acts chapter 7, Stephen, if you remember, was kind of preaching before he got stoned. Sounds like something Pastor Carl might do. Only a preacher can preach before he's, you know, when he's in this kind of trouble. In verse 2, we read about about Abraham. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran and said to him, leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. And Abraham got up and went. And he didn't know where he was going, why he was going there, what was going on, but God used him to build a nation. And Philip didn't know why he was going to this desert road, did he? God just told him, go to this desert road. He didn't know there was someone there that he was supposed to reach. God may have told you to move to Westminster, and you don't know why. God may be telling you that you need to get this new job, and you don't know why. Or maybe God's saying you need to stay in this job you don't like, and you don't know why. Maybe God's moved you to a different neighborhood, and you're not sure why. But if God's guiding us, we know he's got a plan, right? Amen. He's got a plan that's good for us, and he's got a plan that's good for others. And the Spirit is guiding us to a desert road that leads to Gaza, even though we don't understand what's coming. So Philip, verse 27, Philip got up and went. This guy had faith that I want to emulate. I don't know about you. Man, he got up and went. No questions asked. And look, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Kandake, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Oh man, there's some cool stuff here. An Ethiopian eunuch. I don't know if you guys are aware, but Ethiopia wasn't always as small as it currently is. Did you guys know there was once an Ethiopian empire? Ethiopia once took up almost a third of the continent of Africa. Ethiopia at one point had a series of six warrior queens called the Kandakes that ruled the nation and pushed its boundaries outward and advanced the empire of Ethiopia. No, this is not a fantasy novel. Again, this is history. Apparently, the kings of Ethiopia were considered gods and were too important to handle the menial tasks of the kingdom. They were too busy watching football to deal with what was going on in the kingdom. So the queen mothers would rule. Sounds like a lot of guys that live in their parents' basement. But they're not gods. So the queen mothers, the Kandakes, would rule the nation. So imagine, you know, this isn't like the Roman Empire, but it's sure an empire. You know, they've sure got power. And this man is the treasurer for the Kandake. Okay, this is like, you know, the treasurer of the United States is going to Jerusalem to worship. He's an important fellow, right? I would think he's got some power, some prestige. He's probably got a large caravan with him, and he is rich as all get out. You know, he can probably get whatever he wants. This is an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Kandake. He had this ruler, this Kandake's, this queen's trust. I mean, you don't get in a position of power like that without a level of trust. But God was drawing his heart. God was pulling him. Have you guys ever seen someone, or maybe you've been that person who was like the least likely person for God to draw? And you've seen God working on them. They're not yet there, but God's working, right? And we see this with this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, a eunuch wasn't allowed the full privilege of being a Jew. Deuteronomy 23:1 says, "No one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord." This eunuch couldn't go as far into the temple as the Jews, even if he wanted to convert to Judaism and probably had, he still would only be allowed in the court of the Gentiles and wouldn't be fully allowed worship. But God was drawing this guy's heart. You know, this guy, all the way from deep in the heart of Africa, traveled on this little two-wheel chariot, probably drawn by servants, all the way up to Jerusalem so he could worship in the court of the Gentiles and get his hands on a scroll of Isaiah. God must have been drawing his heart for him to be reading Isaiah, right? I mean, you don't pick up Isaiah or Ezekiel or something unless you really want to know God. You know, that stuff's hard. It's hard to get through. And this wasn't even his first language. He's probably reading this in Greek. You know, I'm sure he knew Greek, but this would be like you reading the Bible in your second language. Let me tell you, Isaiah is difficult enough in English. I mean, God was drawing this Ethiopian eunuch to him, but he couldn't quite get there, right? It was like It was like he wanted to know God. He was seeking after God. He was traveling halfway across the known world to be with God. He was reading a difficult prophet in order to know God, but he couldn't quite understand. He couldn't quite make it all the way into the temple, into the presence of God. It's like he couldn't quite get there, like his prayers were bouncing off the ceiling, like there was a disconnect, like, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Like, I know all this stuff, but it's just not working in my life. He was seeking after God. He was at least a God-fearer or a Jewish proselyte, a convert to Judaism, but he couldn't quite know God at the level he wanted to know God. Some of you might know someone like that. Might be your neighbor, you know, a religious person seeking after God, looking for God. God is drawing them, but they're not quite there. And you know the Jesus that they need. So this man had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was headed back to Ethiopia. He was sitting in his chariot, verse 28, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And Philip's like, oh, now I know why I came to this road. I'm supposed to talk to this Ethiopian. I don't know about Philip. If I was coming up on a large caravan of royal Ethiopian people that looked and talked different than I was, with soldiers and servants, I'd be a little hesitant to like just run up and be like, hey man, what's up? Do you understand Isaiah? Like, right? Is anyone else find that strange? But so he goes, you know, first an angel told him, but then the Spirit told him. Do you guys see the variance in how God's working here? Carl said last week, I believe it was last week, God's not a one-trick pony. He's not. He doesn't work the same way all the time. First, God commanded them by Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, to go and preach the gospel to all creations. They were doing it. So God commanded them through, you know, the words of Jesus and what we now would consider scripture, you know. Sometimes God guides us through scripture. Sometimes God guides through something like an angel or the Spirit guiding. God doesn't work the same way every time. Just this one incident, God's guiding Philip in three different ways. We need to be ready, I think, to hear God's voice and God's guidance however he speaks, because we need to let God be God. And if we are going to not just bring the gospel to anyone, but if we're going to be guided by God to someone, we have to be ready to hear however he wants to speak to us. Go up and join this chariot. So Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? Oh, I imagine Philip must have just run up beside, you know, into the crowd. Maybe it wasn't too weird for travelers, lone travelers, to get in with a big group for safety. I don't know. So he ran up and he joined this caravan of Ethiopians. And he was like, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you were going to heaven? No, he didn't say that. Did he say, have you heard the four spiritual laws? No, it was, do you understand what you're reading in Isaiah? Did you guys notice how Philip reached down and tried to grab this guy where he was at? Not that it's wrong to use a model. God knows I have used a model for years. But Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? I guarantee you Philip had never started a witnessing moment like this. You know, I'm sure Philip hadn't started a Jesus conversation with, do you know what you're reading there in Isaiah 53? This is probably a first for Philip. And if you ever come across a non-Christian reading the book of Isaiah and wanting to know what it is, that would be a first for you too. And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? Oh, Philip's like, well, it just so happens that I'm a preacher. I can guide you. So the eunuch's like, great, get up in the chariot. This thing's probably a little chariot drawn by guys. I wouldn't want to be the servants holding the sticks, you know, when Philip joins the Ethiopian up in that chariot. So Philip hops up in there, sits with them. Now, the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. It's Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to slaughter. Now, this talks about the weightiness that I was talking about before, right? Solemnly speaking the gospel. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. You know, we're supposed to bring the gospel to anyone. anytime, whether or not we hear anything from an angel or the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to always be bringing the gospel, right? From one Samaritan city to the next, wherever God places us. When God moves, we'll move. When he stays, we'll stay. Sometimes God's going to guide us to a specific person where we're at. So bringing the gospel to anyone, guided by God to someone, we also should be doing scripture teaching about the one, right? The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" You know, one time I was working at Target, and this girl that I worked with would come to me with all these questions about Jesus because her family was Catholic and her boyfriend's family was Mormon, and neither of them were religious. Talk about confused. And there was one time she came to me and she was like, "So what is it about Jesus that you believe specifically?" It's like one of these moments. You know, have you guys ever had one? Some of you may have had a moment like that where someone comes to you and they're like, "So, tell me the gospel." It's like almost like I'm exactly ready. That's what happened here. God was guiding every moment of the situation, wasn't he? It was like, go to Gaza, and God set up the timing perfectly so that Philip would run into that eunuch. I mean, Philip could have easily been further down the road, right? Never crossed paths. God set up the timing perfectly. God set up the timing of the reading of the passage. I mean, the guy could have been in Isaiah 51, right? Isaiah 55. Who's in Isaiah 53? He wasn't reading about judgment to the nations. He was reading about the judgment to the Messiah on behalf of the nations. That's beautiful. God even timed where the man was reading at the right time. And God set up so that he would be reading out loud when Philip was by the eunuch. The guy was like, "I don't get this." He's like mumbling it. And Philip's like, "Oh, I know that passage." You are going to find, if we're listening for God, however he wants to speak, we're going to find ourselves in situations that he's set up so perfectly. And we just need to respond the way that he wants us to respond. We want the gospel to spread further, right? Are we listening for God to speak to us and guide us? Are we having a spirit-guided gospel, a word-based, spirit-led gospel, bringing the gospel to anyone, but then when God guides us, we're bringing the gospel to someone? Then we know our Bible so well that we can give teaching about the one, Jesus, wherever people are at. You know, you might have someone you know that's hurting. You know, they're doubting about whether anything in their life can ever work out good. Do you know a passage that talks about God bringing good to people through Jesus? Or hope to people through Jesus? You know someone who's depressed. I mean, I was depressed in high school, and I had a couple friends who would encourage me to keep following Jesus. Do you know any passages of Scripture that talk about joy found in Jesus? Do you know your Bible well enough that you can reach someone where they're at about Jesus? You can bring them to Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:13, or whatever your model is. But do you know enough Scripture to take them from where they're at and reach them where they're at and bring them? Philip opened his mouth, verse 35, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 53 for a second, and if you are a quick turner, you can join me. Now the eunuch was starting in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep before Like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. So whoever is being sacrificed here is being sacrificed humbly and silently and willingly. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, or he was killed. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? In other words, he doesn't have any descendants. He's been killed. I mean, who's going to remember this guy? For the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. This is where Philip started. I wouldn't be surprised if he started there, explained who it was talking about. There was a guy that just died, that just fulfilled this. I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to verse 4 and said, "Surely, truly, this Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. There's not many clearer presentations of the gospel, is there? Jesus took our griefs, our sorrows, our iniquities, our sins. He took it for us. Instead of reading throughout the book of Isaiah about judgment on the nations or judgment on God's people, here we have a passage about how the Messiah took that judgment for us. And if you're living and you feel like the Ethiopian eunuch may have felt before this moment, where you're trying to reach God, but you can't quite get there, like, there's a disconnect. I know God, but I always feel judged by God. I always feel like God is angry, not like God is loving. I always see his judgment and his wrath. I don't ever see his blessings, his peace, his joy. Jesus took that wrath for us. We're all in rebellion against God, open, willful rebellion against God in our sin, and therefore deserve to die. But Jesus died for us instead. Now if we trust him and turn from sin, we can be friends with God again. The Ethiopian eunuch was a God-fearer at the very least. He feared the God of Israel, even though he was an Ethiopian. God wanted to take him from a God-fearer to a God-friend. That's what's happening here. And he wants to take us, and he wants to take our neighbors, and he wants to take our coworkers from not just people that are in rebellion against God, not just even God-fearers. He wants to bring us to God-friends through Jesus. Bringing the gospel to anyone is what we're supposed to be doing, wherever we are, whether we hear something or not. But I think you'll find that if you're following step one of this model, that God will start speaking to you and showing you who to talk to, guided by God to someone, and then scripture teaching about the one. But it doesn't end there, does it? Does it? I mean, our church is about, we talk about making disciples, right? And Philip didn't have time. I don't know if he sensed it in his spirit, but he didn't have time to, you know, have a Bible study week after week for 2 years with this Ethiopian before the Ethiopian went back to his nation. But he didn't stop with just, okay, let's pray this prayer. Now that you've prayed, you're a Christian, it's great to meet you, I'm going to go back to Jerusalem now. They kept traveling, and then go back, if you're still in Isaiah, like I am, go back to Acts chapter 8, please. They kept traveling down this desert road, and as they went along the road, they came to some water. Remember, this is a desert road, right? And the eunuch said, look, water! Hey, talk about God guiding the event, right? Like, all of a sudden there's water there too. Like, God planned the water there. And I don't know how the eunuch heard about baptism. Maybe the eunuch had been around when John the Baptizer was baptizing. Maybe he heard some teaching about it from the apostles while he was in Jerusalem. You know, they were preaching in the synagogues after all, and this guy was fearing God and looking for teaching about God. Or maybe Philip told him about baptism right there and it's not recorded. But Philip didn't end there. The eunuch was like, what prevents me from being baptized? What would prevent me from showing that I'm a Christian right here in front of this large caravan of servants and soldiers from my nation? What prevents me from being baptized and showing that I'm now a Christian? And Philip apparently was like, well, nothing. So he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. You may have someone that you've actually talked to about Jesus and they've become a Christian. And next step would be to get them to show that they're a Christian in front of people publicly. That might be, you know, at the church here in our baptismal if you invite them to church. Or maybe, you know, your neighbor became a Christian, you've got a pool, go dunk them in the pool. But the next step is to baptize or to disciple. And I wish that Philip had a chance to sit down week by week with this Ethiopian, but God is bigger than we are. And God was guiding this situation. Sometimes we're going to meet people that we don't have a chance to do the whole process with, but the Apostle Paul says that some plant the seed, some waters, and some reaps the harvest, right? And that our job might be to plant the seed, and we don't see the result, or our job might be to water, and we don't see the result. Or maybe, like Philip, we come along, and situation is ripe. God had already been working, and it's time for the harvest, and we get the great joy of participating in that, and maybe even seeing someone baptized and start coming to church, or maybe become a missionary to his people. Verse 39, well, the next point is baptizing into one body, one body, one faith, one spirit, one baptism, right? Unity. The early church saw unity with the Jews. Then they saw unity. Oh, the Samaritans are part of us too. We got unity here. And in a couple chapters, Pastor Carl's going to talk about how the Gentiles are welcomed in to this unity of the church as well. The gospel going forth to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. We just saw Samaria and the ends of the earth. And here in Acts, it's not quite in the ends of the earth, but it's about to get there, right? An Ethiopian just became a Christian. Now we are sitting in chairs in the ends of the earth, and we're Christians. And we've got people in our Jerusalem that need to be reached. When they came up out of the water, verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. That was a miracle, by the way. Snatched Philip away. I love Star Trek. I wish that teleportation was real. But it's not. I've got friends out in Washington State and in Trinidad, and I wish I could go out and just, you know, bam, Lord, snatch me away to go visit my friends. He won't do it, or at least he hasn't yet. Snatched Philip away to Azotus, that's the Greek name of a city that used to be called Ashdod. Those of you who read your Old Testament might remember it. It used to be a Philistine city. It's on the coast. It had a mix of both Jews and Greeks. Again, a foreshadowing of what God's about to do as we go. And Philip preached the gospel as he went along the coast until he came to Caesarea. So he kept traveling along the coast, preaching the gospel to Jews and Gentiles as he went up along that coast. And now we know Philip as the deacon evangelist because he shared the gospel with so many people and saw so many people accept Christ. It amazes me. This guy had his own little Billy Graham revival crusade going on up in Samaria, and he decided to leave because God was leading him to go and bring the gospel elsewhere. Sometimes God wants us to stay in a place of success because he's brought it and our work isn't done. But sometimes he calls us to a new place, a difficult job, a difficult neighborhood, because we've got work to do there. He's not done with us. Where he moves, we'll move. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing, verse 39. Philip was snatched away, vanished. You know, beam me up, Scotty. He left. And the eunuch's like, oh, I'm a Christian. Yes, let's go back to Ethiopia, tell everyone about Jesus. There's no mention of how he felt about Philip disappearing. He was so caught up in the joy of becoming a Christian that Philip disappearing was just like, oh, look what God can do. I think that's cool. Some of you may have even seen someone become a Christian. They're just overflowing with joy. We should still have that joy. So, point five, repeat. Preach the gospel to anyone, guided by God to someone, teaching about the one, baptized into one, and then we repeat the process, right? God guided Philip divinely into this, what some people call a divine appointment, and Philip went about just preaching the word because he was commanded to. Who knows if God guided him like this again or not, but he kept going. He was on a repeat process, establishing Christians everywhere. And this eunuch, I got more cool stories for you. This eunuch, church legend has it that he became the first missionary to his people. Remember, these were Christian monks that discovered coffee? The Ethiopian eunuch and maybe the apostles Matthew, maybe Matthias later on, established a group of Christians in Ethiopia to the point where Ethiopia may have even preceded Rome as the first Christian nation. And there is still a large group of Christians in the nation of Ethiopia today. This Ethiopian eunuch, he didn't get any discipling, but the Holy Spirit was working, wasn't he? And he preached the gospel wherever he went to. He went back to the court of the Kandake, and he was like, you know, hey guys, I learned about this Jesus while I was in Jerusalem. I got to tell you about him. Here at Westminster Bible Church, we want to be word-based and spirit-led. We want to know our Bibles so well we can reach anyone where they're at. Are we reading our Bibles, striving to know our Bibles? We want to follow the commands of Jesus, right? The clear commands laid out in Scripture. We've got to read it to know it. We also want to be spirit-led. I mean, are we willing to follow God when he says to talk to our family member, to talk to our neighbor about Jesus, to share the joy that we've found? You know, when we talk about Jesus with our Christian friends in a public place, are we whispering or are we talking normally? Word-based and spirit-led begins with sharing the gospel and making disciples, right? We want the gospel to go out and spread everywhere, right? Amen? Can I get an amen on that? I love Jesus, I know you love Jesus, and we want everyone else to love Jesus too. But that's not going to happen if we don't talk about the love of Jesus. I believe that God wants to use us to change our communities, our workplaces, our nation even. You know why I believe that? It's because Jesus commanded us to do it, and Jesus said he's going to build his church through the church. I believe it can happen. Let's go to God in prayer. If you're not yet a friend of God, but God is drawing your heart, Jesus can change you this morning. Perhaps you've been trying so hard to know God, but still only feel like he is far off. Jesus died so you and God could be close-knit. Jesus died so you could know God. It's your sin that has broken your relationship with your Creator. But Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. If you trust him and turn from sin, you can go from a God-fearer to a God-friend. If this is moving you this morning, take a moment as I talk to ask for God's forgiveness and commit your life to him. Tell him that where he goes, you'll go. Where he stays, you'll stay. You want to follow Jesus. For those of us who know Jesus like Philip, ask yourself in prayer, then take a moment to talk to God. Am I taking the gospel to anyone? Am I willing to follow the Spirit's guidance to someone? Am I striving to know my Bible so I can explain the one, Jesus? Just take a couple moments to tell God what is on your heart this morning, and let this morning be a time of renewal for you, for us. Then I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we love what you've done for us through Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you, to advance your kingdom. I thank you that the work and the quick spread of the gospel that the early church had isn't done, that your gospel keeps spreading, that your people keep following, that we keep witnessing. Would you just raise us up, God? Make us better Christians through your Holy Spirit. And bring more Christians into your church. Whether it's this church or another church in this area, we just want your kingdom to grow. We love Jesus. We want everyone else to love Jesus too. Would you give us boldness where we lack boldness? Would you give us understanding where we lack understanding? Would you give us love when we lack love? Would you even make us willing to reach those who are different than us, like the Jew Philip reached the African eunuch? Would you be honored and glorified this morning as we continue in worship and praise you and commit our lives to you wherever we are at? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.